Good morning. I want to start by saying thank you. It is a privilege to be here this morning, to be opening the Word of God before you. It is humbling to be here. It's not to be taken lightly, what you are looking for in someone to help serve this body. And I thank Grace Bible Church for who you are and what you do in this community and what you mean to this community. I didn't grow up here. Grace is only 10 years old. I didn't grow up in this church. Came here for, I think I was here maybe a year before I left to move to Louisville. But this is home. And it became home very quick. And I always enjoy being with you and being here. If you would, take out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Gospel of Matthew in the 15th chapter. We'll begin in verse 1. Go through verse 20. If you would stand with me this morning in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' And he answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.'" Let us pray. Father, we ask that in this time together, as we open your word, what we do not know, you would teach us. What we do not have, you would give us. And what we are not, you would make us. It's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. When we hear the word religion, many thoughts run through our minds. For many, it's a cold, harsh thought about religion. We've heard this phrase used over and over. It's not about religion, it's about a relationship, right? Many of us, when I think of religion, you may think of big cathedrals. You may think of the Pope and all of his garb and his hat. You may think of the Vatican. You may think of many different things when you think of religion. You may think of a church that you attended as a child. Many things come into the mind. These days, religion is looked upon as something that's bad. We use that phrase. It's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. People are turned off by the thought of religion. For many of us, religion represents a church where tradition is king and not Jesus. But the question I pose this morning, is religion really evil? Is it man-made? The dictionary defines religion as the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially God. Now, given this definition, religion doesn't sound bad at all. In fact, many of us would agree that it sums up what we are here to do. We are here to believe in, trust in, and worship Almighty God. That is religion. So we've allowed the world to skew our idea of what religion really is. And in many instances, including my own, we've fallen into the trap of letting the world define who we are and what we do rather than letting Scripture and Christ define who we are and what we do. James 2, verse 27 says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." So is it that Jesus came to abolish religion or claim it for himself? In our text this morning, we're going to take a glimpse into a scene from Jesus' earthly ministry and see what he says about religion. Here in Matthew 15, we have a good picture of what Jesus thinks about religion. Ultimately, he says, religion is about the heart, not your hands. It's not about what you do, but it's about the heart motive behind what you do. The first thing we see in verses 1 through 9 is Jesus exposing false religions, or false religion. As many times has happened before, the Pharisees confront Jesus, the Pharisees being the leaders of the Jewish religion. They come to Jesus and ask him a question. Starts in verse 1, the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, denoting that these were higher ups. They came from Jerusalem, is the point that Matthew's getting at here. These aren't just your average Joe Schmo Pharisees. These are guys that are high up. They know they need someone who knows their stuff to confront Jesus. So they go up. Verse 2 says, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." What does washing their hands have to do with anything when they eat? You know, in modern American culture, we wash our hands when we eat. We've become a little germophobic in areas, right? And so we like to wash our hands, use hand sanitizer, get the fellowship off, you know, all those things. But notice the Pharisees ask Jesus about washing of hands, but they don't ask him directly. They're a little bit cowardly in the way they pose this question. They say, "Why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat?" Now, the disciples would have just done what Jesus had been doing. They were following his example. And to understand what the Pharisees are even asking about here, we go to Mark 7, verse 3 and 4. It says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches." The Pharisees were just keeping with a tradition that had been made up by the Jews. They had added to what God had commanded them in washing of the hands, even so far as going to wash the cups and the pots and the plates and everything that they would eat off of before they ate off of it. Now, how many of you ladies, men, go and wash all the pots and pans before you cook and eat? Anybody? No germophobes in the house. All right. So nobody goes and washes everything. But this showed the Pharisees' desire to do something more than what God had called them to do, to add to God's commands and God's law. And Jesus answers them in verse 3. He answered them and he said, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites." And he goes on to quote Isaiah. And Jesus answering the Pharisees here, he throws another commandment that they have made up, or a new guideline that they had made up. God's command said, "Honor your father and mother." Well, the Jews had made up this thing that they called Korah. And what it was is they decided that if I designate my inheritance to go to God, or the things that I have to go to God, then I don't have to give that money to my parents to help them out. As their parents got older, and their parents may have needed financial assistance or whatever it was, the Jews could claim Korah on their stuff and say, "This is designated for God." Now, they didn't have to give it immediately to the temple. They didn't have to immediately hand it over. They could do it later in life. They could do it after they die. But by saying this is dedicated to God, they no longer had to honor their father and mother in taking care of them in their old age. And Jesus throws this command back at them that they have added to what God has commanded and made null and void what God has commanded. This is the first time that Jesus calls them hypocrites in the Gospels. Their hypocrisy consisted of making a show of commitment to God while at the same time giving human tradition precedence over God's word. The law was given to drive the Jewish people to look forward to something better. Genesis 3:15, we're told that one will come who will crush the head of the serpent. And from that point on, the Jews are to be looking forward to a redeemer and a Messiah. The law came so that transgression would increase. This is what Jesus is trying to get at. All these laws that you're trying to follow, they were supposed to point you to something better. Something that you can't do is follow the law, but I'm bringing one, and I am one who can follow it for you perfectly. The law was to show the righteousness of God and help them see that they could not live up to his standard, yet rather they look forward to Jesus. These people had instead made an idol out of the law. They thought this law is what was going to redeem them, and by keeping it perfectly, that they would have a close relationship with God. Moving on through the passage, Jesus is going to explain what true religion really is. He's just exposed what false religion is, trying to keep the law, adding to what God has commanded. And now he's going to explain what true religion is in probably the most radical ways he could. Verse 7, he says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" They were telling people that they had to keep these laws to be close to God. Then he goes on, verse 10, "And he called the people to him, and he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.'" Now, everything that Jesus says seems radical to us because we are human and he is divine and his knowledge and his wisdom are greater than anything that we can fathom. Yet it is probably the case that nothing Jesus ever said was as radical in terms of the religion of his day and all human thoughts about religion and true worship as what he told the Pharisees, the crowds, and the disciples in this passage. James Montgomery Boyce, in his commentary in Matthew, said, "We can get a sense of how radical this was by remembering that the same issue is treated extensively in Acts in the narrative of God's preparing Peter for carrying the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts 10. And then it is the theme of the longest closing chapter of Paul's great letter to the Romans." What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about food. He's talking about what we eat. He says, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." This is one of the most radical statements of Jesus' entire earthly ministry. And we know later, because Peter, God has to give Peter a vision in Acts chapter 10 to let him know that it is now okay to eat these things. There were animals and there were certain things that were the Jews were told they could not partake in under the old covenant. And it was something they held in very high regard. It was the one thing that they knew they could do. They could not eat shellfish. They could not eat pork. They could not eat these different things. And that was easy. And that was foundational to them. That was foundational to the law. And Jesus just said to them, "I don't care what you eat." Now, this would cause anger from the Pharisees. That would be someone coming in and telling us, "All that you are doing, it doesn't amount to anything. You're never going to get to God this way." But here was someone claiming to be Messiah telling them, the very Son of God, saying, "You're not going to get to my Father by eating certain things, by holding to the dietary restrictions of the law." Jesus, in this statement, was laying the ground for the Gentiles to enter into salvation, and the Pharisees knew it. They said, if the law is not required, then who can enter into this covenant? If the law is not required, then that means all of these filthy people outside of the Jews, they can enter in? What are you saying? The scribes and the Pharisees had dedicated their whole lives to living by the letter of the law and even going so far as to add to the law. And they are being told by Jesus that not only has it all been in vain, but there is a way for the Gentiles to have what they have been working so hard to get. Matthew 12:34, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What he did say is what comes out of the mouth is what defiles a person. Jesus said, not what you eat, not what you put into your mouth, but it's what comes out. Jesus takes them from a physical and an earthly view of this covenant and says, it's not about the outward appearance. It's not about the things that you do and the things that you work for. It's about what's coming from your heart. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Notice as we read on that true religion, it's not only radical, it's offensive. True religion is offensive. Verse 12, he says, "Then the disciples came and he said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.'" To whom is this true religion that Jesus brings offensive? It's offensive to those who want to do it themselves. It's offensive to the Pharisees, these false teachers who had built up a religion on their own doing and things that they would accomplish for God. And they would stand in the streets and talk about how wretched and evil the Gentiles were, but how pious and good that they were for all that they had done. You even see them consistently throughout the Gospels getting on to Jesus for things that he's doing that would go against their law. So they said. It offends those who are working to get to God. Grace and the gospel that Jesus Christ brings is offensive to those who want to have a part in their salvation. Especially in American culture today, we are a pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of culture. We'll get it done ourselves. We'll work this out. I will build this home for my family. I will have the American dream, and I'm going to do it by the sweat of my brow and my work ethic. And it's pride and it's arrogance that leads us to a place that wants to work for everything that we get. And Jesus is coming in and telling these people, it's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can work for and achieve to get to God. He ultimately goes on to say that these men are planted here by Satan. He answered them, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a pit." If it is not Christ the Father who has planted these people, then it is Satan who has planted these people. And those are who are offended by the gospel. Jesus explains because, again, nobody gets it. See, Jesus has been speaking in parables, and Peter thinks, oh, this is another parable, right? What goes in the mouth doesn't defile a person. What comes out of the mouth? Okay, explain that, Jesus, to me. He says, explain that parable to us. And Jesus says, Peter, I'm speaking pretty plain. This is not a parable. He said, are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. He says, Peter, it's pretty simple. I'm saying exactly what you think I'm saying. See, Peter's still having a hard time grasping this. He's kind of with the Pharisees on this. Wait, Jesus, are you saying that the law is done? Like, we don't have to keep those things anymore? I'm going to need you to explain that. further. And Jesus says, what goes into you can't defile you, for you eat it and then it's expelled. And it didn't defile you, but what comes out of you is what defiles you, for out of your heart your mouth speaks. And out of the heart, verse 19, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. The disciples always wanted to go back to physical. You even see Peter here going, do you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you just said? See, Peter's still thinking about a physical earthly kingdom that Jesus is supposed to bring now. And he's like, listen, Jesus, if you keep offending these guys, we're never going to rise to power. We need them to get into political power. But you insist on offending them. They're always focused on the physical, and in the same way we are so focused on the physical. If I have my quiet time every day, if I go to church every time the doors are open, if I attend a Sunday school class, if I do this Bible study, if I do this ministry, if I serve here, then I must be acceptable to God. We are no different than the Pharisees in building our own religion of do, 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 work harder, try harder. And Christ is saying it's done. The gospel, the religion of Christianity is centered around the person of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for us, not on our work and what we can do for him. It's about a spiritual kingdom. These people would have been following Jesus' ministry for some time now. They would have heard him give the Sermon on the Mount when he gave the, you have heard it said, but I say, discourse. Remember Jesus earlier in the book of Matthew on his Sermon on the Mount said, you have heard it said that you should not commit adultery, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman and lusts after her in his heart has already committed adultery. You have heard it said, you should not murder, but I say to you, if you hate your brother, you have murdered him already. And Jesus continues on with all of these commands that have been given in the Old Testament and saying, guess what? It's not just about not killing someone physically. It's about what comes out of your heart. He continually goes back to the spiritual religion that he's focused on. The Pharisees and the scribes had become so preoccupied with externals that they failed to deal with what is more basic and important, namely a real relationship with God. Jesus had more concern for human nature than for the form of worship. See, we can wash our hands all we want. We can clean ourselves up. We can do and say all the right things, and our heart can still be far from Christ. He said, in the last days, there will be many that come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not prophesied in your name? And he will say, depart from me into everlasting punishment because I never knew you. We can do and work all we want. We can keep our traditions and we can keep our quiet times. But those aren't making you more acceptable to God, Christian. True religion deals with people's basic nature and not just with externals. In Ephesians 2, if you would turn with me there, Paul tells us who we really are. Our basic nature in Ephesians 2, 1 says, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 sums up what Christ has come to say. Here in Matthew, Christ is saying it's not about your external, it's about where you were internally and what I can do to you internally, because you can work and you can clean yourself up and you can do all that you want on the external, but you are powerless to change your own heart. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, he has set us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He has created us as his workmanship to do those things which he planned beforehand. See, I don't have my quiet time because somehow I got up and wanted to have my quiet time. I don't serve others because that's my heart's desire, is to serve others. No, because ultimately my heart is selfish and prideful and I just want what I want, right? My heart is focused on me. It is evil, it's deceitful. But God, being rich in mercy, has changed my heart. And I have my quiet time because he changed my heart and gave me a desire to do it. I serve and love others because I look at Christ, who served me far beyond what I can ever do for anyone else, in giving up his life for mine. And that, the gospel, is what motivates me to a life of holiness and a life that glorifies Christ. It's not because I want to and I try harder because someone told me to or because of a command. It's because of a heart change that happened within me. Jesus ends by saying, what comes out of your heart, that's what messed you up. But to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile anyone. See, Jesus didn't come to abolish religion. He came to bring true religion that involved a relationship with him, a religion that revolves around Christ and the worship of Christ and the spreading of the good news of Christ. True religion does what a man-made religion cannot. It changes the heart. It changes who we are. And true religion has but two commandments. Jesus gives these in the New Testament. Again, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of which we cannot do without the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says this morning to you, you're helpless to change yourself. You're hopeless if you're trying to change yourself. He calls you to himself for help and for hope. I urge you, as you go throughout this week, that you would focus on the gospel, that you would look to Christ and what he has done for you, and let that motivate your actions. Rather than looking to your actions as you doing something for God that somehow he needed from you, or that somehow those actions will make you more acceptable to him, but rather, do what you do out of thanksgiving to God and for what he has already done for you, knowing that the blood of Christ has already made you acceptable before him. That in God's sight, you have been justified, you have been sanctified. And work to love him more. And as you love him more, you will love others more. And Christ will be glorified and magnified in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the radical claim that Jesus made when he told the Pharisees, the law is not enough. The law cannot save you. The law cannot change your heart. I have come to change your heart and make you new. God, we stand here as a people who were dead in our trespasses and sins, but because of the great mercy of a loving God, we have been brought from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we can walk in the works that you prepared beforehand for us, knowing that it is nothing that we have done, but it is all of you. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.